The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name's Nicholas. We're going through rules of interpretation, basically referring to the book of Daniel and Revelation. We've been going through Daniel, got to finished chapter 6, and I thought before we jumped into Daniel chapter 7, it might be nice to go over some rules, so I hope that these are making some sense to you, so that because I don't want to be just out here guessing, and I don't want to make stuff up. I'm not trying to create excitement and speculate on the future, and especially using the scripture and what are some very somewhat complicated. It seems apparent to me that our Heavenly Father, when He gave these prophecies, that he did not make it simple. Apparently, we cannot just read the book and go, oh, yeah, that's what it means. But he even hid from Daniel, who asked for the interpretation sometimes. The vision was sealed up and for the time of the end. So we have a lot of people that take advantage of the obscurity to sell books and theories and get people all excited, and even extract money out of them for, you know, I've seen it all in the past. A lot of people have become rich from writing books like The Late Great Planet Earth and other prophetic fantasy like Left Behind, mainly taking advantage of the obscurity of, and some things have just not been revealed yet, but mostly veering away from any rule for interpretation of the scripture. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. It may not be popular to stick to the historicist method and have rules for interpreting the scripture, even if I have to come up sometimes and say, we don't have the answer, or I don't have the answer. And if anyone does, show me from the scripture using sound principles and rules from the scripture itself. So let's continue. We were talking about, the fourth beast of Daniel 7, the body. Okay, yeah, we're talking about a progression of time in the scripture and the principles. So let's jump back into where we were. The fourth beast of Daniel 7, the body and its single head together, represented the pagan Western Roman Empire, and the ten horns on the head represent the ten main divisions of Europe after the Western Roman Empire fell apart. How does this author know this is so? Consider Daniel 7:24, which says, "And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from them from the first, and shall subdue three kings." History records that there were a number of tribal groups that came out of Western Empire of Rome, but there were 10 main tribal groups, of which 7 became nations of Europe. Note that the Eastern Roman Empire is not represented by this beast, unlike Daniel 2, where God showed the two main divisions of the Roman Empire. Some think that because of this omission, God was representing another kingdom altogether, but that is not true. What is happening here is that God is amplifying and clarifying the points about the Roman Empire that he wanted to focus us to focus on because of the effect that it would have on the world. So why did God show 10 horns on the beast instead of 10 heads, similar to what he did on the leopard with 10 with 4 heads? Why does the talking horn have eyes and a mouth? None of the other horns have this. Do the eyes and the mouth tell us something about the behavior of this horn, in particular, what it would do or how it would do something? History records 10 kingdoms that arose out of pagan Rome. There were about 20 tribes that came out of the Western Roman Empire, but it divided into 10 main kingdoms. History also records the rise of the papacy long before the arrival of these 10 kingdoms. So if the talking horn represents the papacy, how can it arrive after the 10? The answer is found in the decree that gave legal authority to the Pope. History records that the Pope was given a decree by the Emperor Justinian that gave him special powers, which were the powers to punish heresy and to be chief bishops throughout, and to be chief bishop throughout Christendom, which gave the papacy power over the people. The papacy used these powers to prosecute a war against the people of God through the power he had over the nations. The nations obeyed the Pope because they believed that they were obeying God in doing so. And he had the decree of Justinian. The Pope was able to begin the enforcement of that decree in March of 538 AD after the arrival of the 10 kingdoms that came out of Rome. So this kingdom, the talking horn, did in fact arrive after the 10 kings, which the 10 horns symbolized. The Bible itself gives indication that this would be the case, for it says of this talking horn that it would have power over the saints of God for 1260 symbolic days, Daniel 7:25. Thus, this is what made it a king in God's eyes, because it took power over the people of God that did not rightfully belong to it. As a general rule, you could say that you move forward from the body to the heads of the horn on a symbolic beast to move forward in time. The restatement of the Miller principle would correspond to the movement from one anatomic body part to another in their correct order on a literal beast. Though the vision given to Daniel used symbolic animals that don't exactly correspond to realistic animals. Real animals don't have four heads or 10 horns, at least not normally. There's enough correspondence that you know from experience you would not move anatomically from the body to the horns and then to the heads as you move forward on the beast. Real animals are not built that way. Some prophetic beasts have multiple heads and no horns. Some have multiple horns and only one head, and one given as a single horn that is replaced by four other horns. Here are the specific rules governing the understanding of them. Where there are multiple heads on a beast and no horns, the body of the beast comes first in time. You move forward on the body to the heads to move forward in literal time. Thus, multiple heads come later in time after the body. The next governing rule, where there are multiple horns on a beast which had a single head, the body and head occur first as one kingdom and one time period, followed afterward by the horns, which represent one time period but also represent a subdivided kingdom. Because the horns are connected to the head, the kingdoms represented by the horns will immediately follow the time represented by the body and the head, except where a horn comes up later than the other horns on the head of the beast. The example we have of this is the fourth great beast of Daniel 7. There are no examples in Daniel where there are multiple horns on multiple heads, such as occurs in Revelation 13 and 17. But it only makes logical sense that based on combining the rules for the leopard beast of Daniel 7 with the fourth dreadful beast of Daniel 7, and common sense based on knowledge of animal anatomy, one can create a rule that says where there are multiple horns that occur on multiple heads, the heads occur after the body and the horns occur after the heads. Where a horn appears after other horns, the new horn represents a power that comes after the power represented by the previously existing horn. We have this example of the fourth beast of Daniel 7 and the goat of Daniel 8. The talking horn of the fourth dreadful beast in Daniel 7 arose in 538 AD, whereas the ten horns rose about 476 AD. Now, to show that it arose sometimes after the ten horns, God showed it rising up sometime after Daniel saw the ten horns. The goat with the single horn represented the empire built by Alexander the Great. The single horn represented Alexander the Great himself and his empire. Then the first horn broke off and four more appeared in his place. These four horns represented the four kingdoms that were created by his generals when they divided the empire by a decree or an agreement among them. Note that Daniel does not actually say four horns arise to replace for a first horn, but it is very reasonably inferred that four horns is what he means from the context, but the wording clearly implicates or implies that the four that arise are the same type of thing as the original horn. Unfortunately, that is the best we can do. He actually says four notable ones take the place of the first horn, so it is very reasonable to believe that these are horns because he also calls the first single horn a notable horn. Therefore, the assumption of the four horns is extremely reasonable. He also says that they are kings, and kings can be represented by horns. It should be obvious that the four horns replace the one that was there before. This is backed up by the statement in Daniel 8, which says, "Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven." In Daniel 8:21, "And the rough goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power." The next governing rule says, "Where there is a beast with a single head and no horns, the body and the head count as one kingdom, because such a kingdom will not subdivide during its time of dominance as an empire." The final governing rule, as part of the Miller Principle, is one that is extremely important. A corollary of the Miller Principle is that heads and horns normally take their identity from the body of the beast that they are on. Identify the power of the body of a given beast represents, and the identity of the heads and the horns should be based on that in identification. This totally destroys any possibility that the identity of the heads of a beast come from any source other than the body that they are on, unless an exception principle statement is found to show that the heads must belong to another power. There is only one known exception where this can be done in Daniel or Revelation, and this is the dragon of Revelation 12. This totally rules out the idea that the heads of the scarlet beasts in Revelation 17 represent a series of totally unrelated kingdoms. The identity of the heads must be derived from the body that come before them, so they all must have a common origin. Makes perfect sense to me. To understand that the corollary stated above rule is true, consider the leopard with the four heads in Daniel 7. The four heads represent that the four powers they symbolize came about by subdividing the kingdom of Alexander the Great. Therefore, they were derived from the kingdom that Alexander created and did not take their territory from other kingdoms outside of that. The same is also true of the ten horns of the dreadful beast of Daniel 7 that developed out of the remains of the Western Roman Empire in 476 AD. They simply subdivided the empire, therefore their identity is taken from the beast that they were on, not from another kingdom. Now we move on to the similarity principle. This rule states, where there are multiple heads or horns, or both, the heads and the horns take on a nature similar to what went before it. An example of this is the fourth beast of Daniel 7. Rome was a political kingdom, and the ten horns, which developed out of the ashes of the Roman Empire, were in fact political kingdoms like Rome. The only exception for this is the talking horn, commonly called the little horn power, that came up later. Daniel 7 makes it clear that this is of a different character than all the previous to it. So the reader is notified that an exception has occurred has occurred with this particular power because of the contrast between it and the other powers that came up before it. In fact, a careful reading of the description of the talking horn shows it to be primarily a religious power because it is described as fighting against God and his people, and even goes so far as to think to change God's laws, which are unchangeable, but nothing is said of it as an empire except that it would in some way be responsible for the removal of three of the ten horns. This is shown, and there's an illustration here that shows that. With the four-headed leopard beast of Daniel 7, the body of the leopard represents the same created by the conquest of Alexander the Great. The four heads represent the four kingdoms that the empire was divided into by his general after his death in Babylon in 323 BC. Alexander the Great created a political empire which was followed by four political kingdoms. If one follows the rule, then one could generalize that a political power follows a political power, and a religious kingdom will follow a religious power unless stated otherwise, then an exception has occurred. Likewise, a religious power will be followed by a religious political power. Thus, this rule in action, yes, is shown below, and it's referring to the beast, the leopard beast of Daniel 7, where it's a political power followed by four political powers from the same beast. And the difference principle. Where there are multiple heads or horns or both, there's a difference between the body and the heads, and a difference between the heads and the horns. This difference has to do with the fact that when an empire is subdivided, a group of smaller kingdoms are derived from the original empire that have a like nature, similar principle, yet have a difference in that each of them is not the original empire, probably is smaller and probably is reduced in power. There are exceptions, of course. With the empire formed by Alexander the Great, when he died in Babylon, his empire was broken up into four smaller empires. These were carved out of the original empire, but each of them was not, in fact, the original empire. The heads were still largely Grecian in nature, which is one reason why they are shown as part of the leopard, yet were no longer the same original empire. They were smaller and reduced in power. The same is true for Rome. As the fourth beast of Daniel 7, the 10 main kingdoms of Europe that arose from the original empire were not the Roman Empire, yet they retained aspects of Rome and were reduced in power and size compared to Rome. Thus, the difference principle can be stated. The heads and the horns of a beast are subdivisions of the original empire, so in general, each head or horn will be smaller and weaker than the original empire. Our next principle is the concurrency principle, or simultaneous principle. Where horns are shown together on the same beast, they occur simultaneously, unless noted otherwise by an exception statement. Another horn appearing later should probably be considered as simultaneous with previously existing horns. The ten horns on the fourth beast occurred simultaneously, but the talking horn came up later, and this symbolizes that it got power after the arrival of the ten horns. The power behind the talking horn was the papacy, of course, and it was somehow responsible for the demise of three of those horns, leaving only seven horns. The talking horn continued to exist in parallel with the seven remaining horns, so it was concurrent with them throughout most of their existence. This same rule applies to the multiple heads on the same body. They occur simultaneously with each other. Remember that heads occur after the body and horns occur after the heads. Four, the four heads on the leopard beast of Daniel 7 all existed at the same time, but they died out at different times as Rome conquered them. Of course, we don't have any examples in Daniel or Revelation where heads appear after other heads, but we do have examples where horns appear after other horns from Daniel 7 and 8 only. In Revelation 17, there are seven heads on the scarlet beast. The angel that says that five have already been, obviously meaning they are past history, and one is, and one more is yet to come who will remain only a while. Below is a, and we have a diagram here. And I can't show you the diagram, so you're going to have to get this link from me and check it out for yourself. Let's move on to the characteristics principle. Various colors or objects such as wings or characteristics placed on the body, for example, the species lion, bear, leopard of a beast attached to it in some way, such as the woman sitting on the scarlet beast of Revelation 17, explains something about it, usually what it will do, in what way it will do something, or how it will act, its behavior or characteristic. The wings on the back of the leopard beast suggest that the swiftness with which Alexander the Great conquered. The fact that wings are on the back of the leopard indicates the time to which the wings apply, the time of Alexander the Great, not the four kingdoms that followed his empire. The scarlet coloring of the beast of Revelation 17 might suggest that it has killed a lot in the past and is covered in blood. It can also represent royalty. And we're plumb out of time. Perhaps we're going to have to continue this tomorrow. So, join me. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. I'd like to hear from you. The email link is there. And I'll see you tomorrow.